This is the Diabetic Show featuring Mark Philwood and Dobie Maxwell right here on WGTD featuring all things diabetic.
And welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwood, type 1, proudly, since 1987.
My name is Dobie Maxwell, type 2, riding sidecar. Thank you once again for joining us on our little radio weekly jaunt through the ups and downs of a very debilitating disease, which hopefully we will turn around for the good.
They keep promising this. I mean, ever since we started the show, what, 12,000 years ago?
Back in the Paleozoic era.
Back when insulin was affordable.
Back when we had hopes and dreams.
Well, I don't know if we went back that far. Anyway, the diabeticshow.com is where you find us, at least on the World Wide Web. Get to the Facebook page, look for The Diabetic Show. You can email Dobie or myself at The Diabetic Show.
And you don't have to pick one just because Mark is a type 1. You don't have to send type 1 questions to him. You can send us anything you want to. The last couple of weeks, we've been getting recipes, diabetic recipes.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Very much.
And there are books of those as well. So that's all kinds of things to get into. And we open your thoughts to contact us anytime.
Good. And also, we have I forgot last show. And I always forget Troy. And as I always forget Troy McDonald, he's the most important person, really.
Well, he doesn't have the disease. See, he's functioning a human being without.
Yeah, but you remember we gave him that test a few shows back, and he could be with a little luck. He's on that cusp.
Well, hopefully the fates will shine upon him.
There you go. So good luck, Troy. Because you know once you landed in one of these seats, you're fixed. I mean,
I do not want to be in one of those. Seats. I'm good.
Then perhaps we can scare him out of the seat, which is what we've been doing with listeners for years.
Pass the whole wheat ding-dongs, please.
We'll get to the news. And then the gist of the show, well, it's going to be one of those episodes all about me.
As well it should be. This is an exciting time, and I don't mean this in a facetious way, even though I do stand-up comedy for a living. You are about to engage in a scientific Star Wars utopian futuristic operation, and I find it fascinating.
And the last three times I've done that were total failures. So hopefully this one now.
Well, it's going to be something where you couldn't have done it maybe, 10 years ago? At least 20 years,
about
for sure.
20. 20 years ago is when they began the pancreatic transplant world. And most of it came from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, of all places. And they've been going
strong. You think with all the drinking they do there, they should have liver transplants they would work on first?
They already have.
Okay.
So you are right, though. Let's get to the news then, and we'll
diabetic
slip
news.
Right.
This just in.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for ever since the show started again. And America apparently is getting plenty angry as well about the rising cost of insulin. And we've talked about this before with Mr. Best coming up with the insulin back in the 20s. They sold the patent to the country of Canada. It was two or three different patents for the insulins. They sold the entire kit caboodle for $1 a patent.
We never found out was it a Canadian dollar or an American dollar.
Substantially, a good question. I still don't know.
Okay. A buck's a buck.
Thank you. And the whole point of it was, even back in the 20s, it was such a nominal fee for a patent, for heaven's sakes. The whole idea was just to get people access to the drug. It was a relatively new. They were using cows and pigs and finding out that the insulin they were producing could actually be stood and used by a human being. And, well, things have changed a lot since then.
So let me take you back before that. If someone was diagnosed with diabetes, pretty much a death sentence.
Yes. It was. It was similar to the old TB diet, the tuberculosis, if you were caught with that. The whole point was they would feed you less and less and less. That was the prescription. Eat less and less and less, and it'll be better. And basically, when you eat less and less, you tend to
die,
yes. So that's really how it was going with insulin as well. If you had the diagnosis, especially of a type 1 diabetic, where I don't think they had type 1 and 2 at that point of the learning curve, but once you got the diagnosis, it was time to...
Okay, now it's just fascinating to me. Now, was it diet-related? Because back then the diets were pretty straightforward and basic.
I thought so. And it's funny, today we're kind of coming back to that. Well, with the exception of some, the fats. But overall, it seems healthy is then what it is now. It's really known as spread it out.
Well, whether anybody believes in a God or not, and I'm not going to get into that debate.
Whole different show.
Not going to get into that debate. But the point is the natural surroundings of the foods that are growing in the planet, if it's organic, chances are it fits with our health.
Amazing.
And it's when we started to mess with it when everything went sour.
I would imagine.
So, I mean, you know, the fruits and nuts and flakes and meats and all those kind of things in their natural state. Was there diabetes even before that? How did it get started is my question.
Well, again, I'd like to blame somebody other than myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't have another answer for that.
Okay.
So I will work on that, though. And is
that's why we're here. We're going to take it up to the top of the National Diabetes Institute and knock on the door of the president and said, hey, Jack, how did all this get started?
As every successful salesperson has no answer to a question. That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get back to you on that.
Let me get back to you on that.
America plenty upset about the rising cost of insulin over the last 15 years. Average price for the injectable drug used by nearly 15 million Americans on a daily basis quadrupled in price.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And
how much did gas prices go up in that time?
Not as much.
How about the price of a Big Mac?
Oh.
I always look at that. That just kind of inches up.
Yeah, but for some reason, even over its last couple of years, insulin has been going up by double digits every year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to those, well, recently the Congress put up the big pharma people right up in front, like five of them, I think, comprising 90% of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they sure didn't seem like the type of people that would jack up prices just to be mean.
Well, it's business, as they say, down in Texas.
Yeah, and their number one responsibility, of course, the shareholder. So I guess they're doing a great job.
Well, that's the thing, though. They don't care about the diabetic. Shrivel up and die. Like Jay Leno used to say about Doritos, crunch all you want, we'll make more.
Sad and true.
Yeah.
So the situation is we have not, and we've tried, we've tried to get people who could answer these questions on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they're busy.
Well, we have to get a Mr. X situation or a Ms. X.
You mean like one of those
ask him or her.
Mm.
Why, follow the money. If you want to trace it back, here's my theory, and I'm not being totally goofy when I say it, the mafia.
The mafia?
Yes. If there's money in it, the mafia is behind it, and there's guaranteed money in, don't you think?
Well, it's not
15
like,
million people. Have you seen the signs on the side of the road, we'll buy your unused diabetic syringes?
No.
And diabetic testing strips?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just random sales. You don't think people are going to start going robbing houses? Oh, leave that fine jewelry alone. We'll take the diabetic testing strips because we know we can sell them.
It's sad and true. It mm-hmm. really is. On a yearly basis, we're looking at $80 to $100 billion worth of diabetic-related
yeah.
care materials, mm-hmm. everything from the testing supplies. But when it comes to the insulins, it's just ridiculous. So we were talking about the cheaper insulins that they came up with. Just this last show, we were talking about it. And those are still $130, $140 for a vial. And a vial for me is about a month's worth of drug. So
mm-hmm.
I guess it's cheap. I mean, when you hear the stories of the people who are on insulins, especially the newer ones, they're choosing between food, rent, or living.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's something that, again, whatever anybody's political beliefs are, don't you think if you're ill, you deserve to be cared for, medical care? I don't know who pays for it. I'm going to get into it. But shouldn't that be a human right? I'm not trying to be left or right or any kind of politics. If you're sick, you need to get well, period.
If I was a politician, I would care about saving the lives of millions of eligible voters.
Eligible voters.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right.
So hopefully they'll be getting through to this because people are making that choice. So I tell you what, let's get to this before we go to the break. And we'll do a whole show about this as well. Cheap ways to get drugs. Costco is around, I'm sure, hopefully by where you're listening to the show. Now you need a Costco membership, and it's like $40 to $60 for a basic membership in a year, but no additional charge for the prescription discount program. And they've got a lot of not just diabetic supplies, but high blood pressure meds, cholesterol meds, dailies, like we would call it,
mm-hmm.
at a significant price break. Kroger's has a long list of low-cost generic drugs on an ongoing basis. They have what's known as an easy drug card program, free, no expiration date. Meyer store.
I was going to say Meyer. I have one by me. And I'm not giving any plugs for any reason, but I know they're very good at things like that.
But we would get plugs if they would give us something in return. So let's not take that option off the table.
Okay.
Meyer stores, they offer the free prescription program for low-cost antibiotics, prenatals, diabetic medications, program which does not require sign-up or enrollment, subject to quantity limitations. And Walmart. We talked about Walmart and Sam's Club before. If you don't mind the more traditional insulins, say like R or NPH, you can still get a vial of that for like $35.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it away. I can't imagine how they're making money on something like that. Anyway, the point of it is there are programs out there. Just do a simple Google for low-cost diabetic supplies, or if that's not your drug yet, any supplies you're looking for. And don't forget those pharmaceutical companies, because they've got wonderful discount. I checked for Lilly. Lilly, of course, another one of those companies that just won't return the calls. And I think it's because of you for this one, though, because I
make the prank phone calls.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Prince Albert in a can. Click.
Oh, boy. They have this great program for Lilly, but apparently you need to make less than $10 a year. You know, we're close.
I'm pretty close.
Yeah, but we're still not to that line yet. Mm-hmm. So, but the point of it is you have to be proactive. They're not really helping. And if we're wrong, feel free to call us and get on the show, for heaven's sakes. Well, are people complaining already, Dub?
Oh, no, I'm just we're getting texted in here. And I think we're going to take a break now. We'll come back. We're
going
to talk about your...
We'll talk transplant.
Your Frankensteinian transplant coming up.
The Diabetic Show. Thanks for being here. Diabetic Show. Mark Phil, what type 1, but who knows how long?
I'm Dobie Maxwell, type 2. I'm enthralled with this whole thing. If you're just joining us, we hope you're a regular listener here at the Diabetic Show. And if you're not, we hope you become one, because we have an ongoing tale. My partner in crime here, Mark Philwett, is going to go through a pancreatic transplant. Is that the official
name
for it?
That's the official name for it.
Which sounds very complicated and very 25th century, not even 21st century. This is fascinating to me. Let's go to the beginning. How did you find out about it, and how did you know that you were eligible?
Here's the thing. I found out about it because I was an out-of-control diabetic.
Meaning what?
The A1C, which is how a diabetic and non-diabetic, how people gauge what their sugars are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, you want to be around 6, whatever the arbitrary number happened to be, 6. 6 is a good A1C number. If you're non-diabetic, that's a non-diabetic number.
Mm-hmm.
If you're diabetic, it basically means what your average sugar levels in your body are over the last 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
The way they figure that out is they use the red blood cell, which has a 90-day lifespan. They figure out how much sugar has been hanging in that cell for the last 90 days, and somehow they come up with these numbers. If you're an out-of-control diabetic, the bad number starts at about 7.5, maybe closer to 8.
That's where the Richter scale starts.
That's where, exactly. And basically what that means is if you were to have a A1C of... okay, let's just say 8. That would say to me, and on the charts, instead of having an average blood sugar of between 80 and 110, 120 is where they want you to be, where a non-diabetic lives all the time, your average is closer to 200 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're up to 9, and then your average is about 250, your A1C is over 10 or 11, then...
Is there a record?
There's always a record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but I guarantee if he had a number that high... Most of his friends are either calling him Stumpy or not calling him at all.
When he cut himself shaving, log cabin syrup came out.
In a nice way, I guess you could say that.
Yeah,
sir.
That's got to be frightening to be that high.
Well, the funny thing is when you are that high, and when I was first diagnosed, and I'm sure when you were first diagnosed, you were up there.
I think I was up around 500.
Minor league. I was closer to 800.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed, the numbers over 1,000 have to be out there. I mean, they have to be. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, there's no insulin to take care of the sugar. It keeps climbing and storing and climbing. And then you have the... the never-ending trip to the bathroom because your sugars basically get spilled out of your body through the urine, and your body's just trying to purge it, just trying to get rid of it because it can't use it. There's no insulin to unlock the sugar to be usable for the body. And so you have these problems. So You combat it with insulin. Insulin is the key that unlocks that sugar. Mm-hmm. It can be used for energy. The problem is, when you have different kinds of insulin running through your body, I'm a type 1, so I would have two different kinds, a short-acting and a long-acting. One would reside over a 24-hour period. The other one would a couple of 3 hours. But here's the thing. If you don't eat enough, if you exercise too much, if you're stressed too much, or you're just having that kind of a bad day and just everything's kind of eating away. You ever had one of those days,
dog? Every day of my life is that way, Mark.
Well,
including today.
Well, but that goes without saying. Point being, once that happens to you, sometimes the insulin will eat the sugar until there's no more sugar to eat. And it will just continue to eat whatever's out there until your blood sugar quite literally could be in the 20s, in the 30s, in the teens, I've heard.
Wow.
Yeah, and people die of going supreme hypoglycemic.
Mm-hmm.
And like we discussed this before, I worked at a station, and one of my best buddies at that station, I was doing an appearance with him, and the insulin was kicking in. And I could still feel the insulin kicking in. If it kicks in, you get very anxious, and the sweat starts to pour. Kind of like I always compare it to my first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same feeling without the
first date, prom night,
without the headaches. Yeah, and I'm sure she'd say the same. Point being, you have this low coming on, and you know at that point, well, I got to get some sugar in me now. I was at a fair, a county fair,
mm-hmm.
and that hit me, but. I was so close to my last break. I was doing an appearance. I was going to do my last break. We'll see. CCR is going to be here at the main stage tonight. But in that minute or so, it caught up to me. That insulin just kept eating the sugar until I didn't know what was going on. And my buddy at the time, he was helping. He thought I must have been mad at him. And I'm for some reason, here I am surrounded by sugar. And I'm thinking, I got sugar in my car. So I'm walking to my car, and I could barely walk, but I was very focused. I just knew I needed sugar, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor guy, he's following me. Hey, what's the matter? What's the matter? Are you okay? And he thought I was mad at him. And we get to the car, and I reached across him because he's now sitting in the passenger side, and I'm in the driver's side. And that's where I kept my glucose tabs,
okay.
Which is what we do. You eat a couple of tabs, right as rain, 6 minutes. Unfortunately, insulin needles. My used one, so I also mm-hmm. kept them there. They popped out of the glove box. So my buddy's thinking, you're diabetic. You must need more insulin.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is, for all those people that really, through the course of a day, and I know W deal with this occasionally, mm-hmm. people who want you dead, they would stand in line if you were selling tickets. Who wants to shoot them up? You could sell out those raffle tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, my buddy did it for free. And the last thing I know is he's literally shooting me in the main vein. And as a diabetic, you never fire insulin in. You always fire it in fat. That mm-hmm. way it kind of drizzles in, gets absorbed into the body. But, boy, when they mainline it, you know, it's right to the top, you know, top floor.
So that's what he did.
Yes, yes. And that's the last I really remember because at that point I was out. But apparently I kind of elbowed him a few times. He fell out of the car. I guess I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently I was able to drive a good 3 miles, which is pretty good.
Sure.
Now, that could be a record. You want a world record. Having no sugar in your body driving 3 miles, I think I would get a mention.
Okay.
Point being, I pulled off the road, 2 wheels on the road, 2 wheels off the road. I did put the left or the right turn signal on, so people knew at least I was trying to get off the road.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, I wake up 6 hours later.
Wow.
Yeah, and like the inside of the car. You have those mornings where just all you get the fog in the outside of the windows, all the condensation, except all the condensation
which on
was
the
on
inside,
the inside of the windows.
Had that nasty habit called breathing.
I was the humidor. Mm-hmm. It was really exciting, and from that point on, I lost all feeling of hypoglycemia. I would be talking, let's say, with you guys years later, and then all of a sudden, I would start slipping into the dreamland. I had one time where I was on the road, and there's your stress, you're on the road. I woke up, a terrible headache. I look at my pillow, it looks like I was bludgeoned.
Okay.
And you've had that feeling too. People have been trying to bludgeon you for decades.
Take a number.
Exactly. It was my tongue. Apparently, I went hypoglycemic, bit my tongue almost all the way off.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, and that's what it was. And that's where I learned that tongues actually regenerate faster than any part of your body. Yeah, you know, doesn't really help you at the time, but something to think about if you ever bite your tongue almost.
So this is quite a thing. Now, I remember hearing about this from the opposite end. Obviously, I knew you then,
right?
And I heard all kinds of things. And of course, the rumor became that you almost died and drove off the road, and all these kind of nasty things happened. And how did it turn out?
Well, the story was I was actually trying to run over somebody from management. That was not true.
Okay.
Because even if I wanted to, what were the odds of hitting somebody?
You would have gotten the Congressional Medal of Honor for most of the people at the station had you done that.
I would have been this close to a Part-Timer of the Year award. Anyway, point is, this is where we're at. And I'm to this point now where I'm very scared about, boy, what's going to happen today? It really doesn't matter. If you can't feel where that pool bottom is, you're not going to feel where that pool bottom is. And then you're kind of living your whole life wondering, when's it going to happen? And then, let's take the break right here. See, you do that thing.
It's called the cliffhanger. Oh, it has a happy ending because he's here to tell you the end of it. Mark Philwett's story about his upcoming pancreatic transplant, and hopefully someone out there listening can go through it themselves and vicariously through Mark and then do it themselves. This is going to help a lot of people. We're glad you're first. We are The Diabetic Show. He's Mark Philwett. My name is Dobie Maxwell. Please stay with us. An exciting conclusion on the way.
Back to The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett.
Dobie Maxwell. Now going to conclude the story of Mark's upcoming transplant.
So here's the thing. My A1Cs, now we're back to those again, I'm keeping them on the high side because I don't want to go hypoglycemic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Downside of that, you know, amputations, death, it's a 50-50 if you go hyperglycemic as opposed to hypo. So here's my endocrinologist, a wonderful person. And she said, you realize you might qualify for the transplant option. And right away, I mean, all the years I'm diabetic, nobody's telling me this before.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think between you and me, I think she was sick of me being such a terrible diabetic. And
okay,
I think she's
right.
Like, I'm had enough of this guy, you know, just get him out. So here's the thing. She hooks me up with the general number, University of Wisconsin-Madison. They lead the world in transplants for pancreas and a number of others, but pancreas is it for them.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
first ones to really get it to where it is today. It was the longest process, which I understand. First thing was almost like a 45-minute oral exam. They call it a Clark test. Because, yes, you got the transplant available, but perhaps that's not the best thing for me because we have closed loop systems now. I mean, diabetes has come such a long way, even in the last 5 years, to where maybe a transplant isn't needed because you're really trading one disease for another disease at that point. Anti-rejection drugs, a lot of choices.
Well, your lifestyle is kind of important. It could be, okay, yeah, exactly. You can't get out of bed, but boy, I'm not diabetic anymore.
See, yeah, it's one of those.
I'm a vegetable.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The Clark test. I made it. It was an R score, whatever the R score is, like a pirate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I made it. And but then, oh, my God, just a laundry list of stuff. I mean, it's like they put you up on the rack and just they everything. I've done everything.
How's your catalytic converter?
It could be changed. It's another operation. I'll tell you, though, I did a stress test. That was the first thing. And I figured, oh, it's the easiest. I got this, right? And so the stress test is you do the rolling or the walking, depending, to get the heart beat up, and then they inject you with something nuclear, and then they take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come back the next day, and they take more pictures, and they determine how you're doing. And diabetic or not, get a stress test, whoever you are. You need it. If you haven't had it yet, get one, especially middle age on. Page one was great, because I saw the first page. And then the next day, I had another meeting with my endo, and I'm thinking, boy, she's going to be so proud of me because I was actually taking care of myself. I mean, my blood sugars were 81. I was living the dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes in, and she's got this face. You know the face they give you just when they say, hey, could you come see me after your shift?
Yes. Shut the door.
That face.
You got a minute? Yeah.
Okay. And she goes, have a seat. And apparently she goes, I said, well, yeah, let's talk about my numbers. She's like, have you seen your stress test? Page one is great. Again, I knew that. Yeah. She goes, but have you seen page two? How many times in life, Dobie, page two is what sinks you, right?
Paul Harvey, page two.
And where's he? So here's the thing. Page two showed a shadow. And I could see on her face, she was, have you taken aspirin today? Well, yeah, I take an aspirin every day. Oh, okay. Just sit there. Just sit there. I want to see if you can be seen by the cardiologist across the hall. Next thing I know, there's a chair waiting to wheel me, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, you're talking about stress tests, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line was I had to go in for a heart catheterization, just that way to make sure. And that's when they put the tubes up, you know, the heart, and don't make that gassy face. It's there. Yeah. So here's the thing. It was just a shadow. It was just a shadow. So and my
what does that mean?
I had zero blockage. A diabetic, type 1 for 30 odd years, zero. So again, obviously, you know, it's my exercise regimen.
Mm-hmm.
It was DNA, absolute DNA.
You lucked out,
yeah, or maybe Reese's peanut butter cups might have helped somehow. Okay. But otherwise, yeah, I'm very lucky on that. So that was the big jump. Then I had to do the, of course, there was the colonoscopy, because you can't have a good checklist of things to do.
You can't just do a selfie?
No, I tried. I no reach. Absolutely no reach.
And you had a little selfie stick.
And they had the doctor going, here, go like this. I couldn't go like that. So
cheese.
I know. So I go through that, and again, beautiful. I'm beautiful. And then the kidney tests, you know, where you have to literally carry around jugs like Gunga Din, except that you're not carrying water. Well, actually you are, but modified water. And so they did all those tests. Dobie, I'm proud to say that I have the kidneys of a 14-year-old gymnast.
They're in a bucket in your locker.
I'm filtering like nobody's business.
So you're filtering well. You got nothing else going. What is the problem?
The pancreas. Okay. So that's it. So that's where I'm very fortunate with this. And Troy, I know, you know, give us like about a minute notice here, because this gets here's the thing. Everything is fine with me with the exception of the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes my waiting list shorter, because a lot of times they package it together. They do the old kidney, the pancreas transplant. Already? Figures. The gist of it is it's going to happen supposedly in the next, I'm going to be put on the list this week. In the next 37 to 107 days, that's the average of the weight.
Mm-hmm.
So compared to like a liver or a kidney, oh my, or a heart or any other organ, boy. So the thing is, they're out there. The transplants are available. They're out there. And what's even more amazing, Blue Cross Blue Shield is covering it.
Great.
Wow. I mean, wow, right?
They should be a sponsor of this show.
Call them after this. Look, we plumb run out of time. We're going to have to do one more show before that.
Absolutely. This is fascinating. Stay with us. TheDiabeticShow.com. You can email Mark if you want to know what's going on, or you can listen to the show. And the next time we're on, we're going to talk more about it, and we'll walk you through it vicariously. This is exciting as a radio person to be riding sidecar on this, buddy. Crossing fingers, knocking wood in your behalf.
I'm there for you, Bill. I am. Get to the website, TheDiabeticShow.com, Facebook page, The Diabetic Show. If it wasn't, you know, for Troy and Dobie, I'd be sitting in a little room talking with myself.
Till next time, be positive, test negative. We're The Diabetic Show.
Ooh, get that out.
Thank you for tuning in to The Diabetic Show, featuring Mark Philwood and Dobie Maxwell. For more information or to stay in touch, visit TheDiabeticShow.com. Until next time.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3600. 3030.
In other words, please be true. In other words.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted